Chad DeRue is a veteran bluegrass musician, released his own album for the first time under his own name. And in 2018, the name of the album is Raising the Bar. Caught up with Chad in Raleigh, North Carolina, during the week of the International Bluegrass Music Association festivities, I would say. Joined by Valerie Smith, which you'll understand why, once she comes in, she was involved in the putting this album out, Raising the Bar. Well, we always love talking to Valerie Smith. That'll be in the second hour. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. Well, I'm happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass for the first time, Chad DeRue. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. How are you doing?
I've heard so much about you.
Oh, boy. I hope it was good.
It was good. Valerie Smith told me so much about you, and she's the one this summer that said, you have to hear this guy because he's great. I trust her judgment on it. Just about everything.
Well, she's very kind.
Well, and I have now, you've given me your album, Raising the Bar, and I know from the cover alone that you're a dobro player.
That's right. All right. That's right.
tell me a little bit about, is this your first album?
This is my first solo project, okay. Yes.
Well, before becoming a solo artist, I know there's no solo things because you have people on it, but who were you playing with?
Well, I've played with Dave Adkins' band. I've played with the James King band. Played when I was 16, I toured with Bill Keith playing dobro for him.
Bill Keith is a special place for me.
Oh,
I got to know Bill really well.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it comes through Grey Fox where I saw that. I used to camp right next to Bill over the last couple of years, and plus I like to play banjo, so he was banjo god.
Yes,
and then he became a good friend of mine over the last 4 or 5 years. So when was that then?
87 and 88.
Okay, I didn't know him yet then. So you were playing with Bill Keith.
That's right.
That's a tough one to jump in on.
Well, it's funny how it kind of happened. I had just moved, my parents, I should say, had just moved back to New York State where they were from Florida, where I grew up. And I had been playing around with some local bands, and Bill heard me. And the next thing I knew, I was getting a call from the band that was supporting him. Summit was the name of the band. And they asked if I would be available to go on tour with backing Bill and actually Frank Wakefield. And I, of course, jumped at the opportunity.
That's tall timber.
Yeah, really tall timber. I jumped at the opportunity, and, man, I'm so glad I did, because Bill, just what an amazing man. He taught me so much about music and the banjo and the pedal steel, you know.
Yeah. Well, he's a great pedal steel player.
Oh, he was a great pedal steel.
People, you know, from the jug band days and all
that
stuff,
right.
He did with Jim Questman. People don't realize. We're talking about Bill Keith. I don't mean to do that since we're talking
right.
about you, but the fact that you were playing with Bill Keith immediately speaks to me about the level of skill that you have.
Oh, well, thanks.
That's a great honor to be asked by Bill to tour with him.
It was a great honor.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. So you've been busy since then.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've finished up school, came off the road and finished up college and got a degree and went to work and, you know, made a family and all that kind of stuff, and just kind of let the music fall by the wayside for quite a while. And about 10 years ago, I started playing again. I went to Europe with Stan Tominski, which is Danny's big brother.
And, I did not know that.
Yeah, and that kind of gave me the bug again. And I started playing out again as a sideman. And then just this past year, decided I wanted to try and do something to put me out as a artist myself. And that's where this CD came from.
I noticed you've written several songs on this, and the album again is Raising the Bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Bell Buckle Records.
That's well, Chatteroo and Bell Buckle Records.
Okay.
The joint thing, you know, me being an artist and I Bell Buckle Records for years. Like,
yeah, sure.
Years, and I get this call from a guy named Mike Bukowski.
Right.
Did I say that right?
Oh, it's Bukowski.
Bukowski. And he was telling me about Chad as well, and about this project they had done. And he sent it to me, and I really liked it. And I said, can I be a part of this to release it? Because I really think it needs to be heard. And it's history from there.
Boy, I'm so glad she did, too.
You have a good selection of tunes, like I said. You've written, it looks like you arranged
I arranged everything on the album, produced and arranged everything on the album. I wrote, I believe there's 6 originals on it.
Yeah,
there.
I was trying to count them as you're talking, and it looks like at least half of them.
Yeah, and then the other covers are songs that meant something to me in one way or another.
Raising the Bar, the title cut.
Uh-huh.
People should know that dobros are played with metal bars and in your left hand.
That's correct. One of my favorite analogies was Rob Ikes said one day that it's like playing a banjo, but with one finger. And it really kind of is.
Is that the main instrument that you play, or do you play other things?
I play guitar, banjo, mandolin, dobro, bass. I was a classically trained bassist.
Where?
In Florida. I grew up in Florida.
Okay.
And then bluegrass has just kind of been there from the beginning for me. So.
From Florida or from New York exposure?
Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Definitely.
What was your bluegrass experience in Florida? But I know Tony Rice spent a lot of time there.
Uh-huh. Well,
go ahead.
Okay, so my parents were cloggers, and that got me started clogging. And the music that's used for clogging is
mostly
bluegrass.
Right.
So they started going to festivals. And there was a band. Boy, this is gonna it really puts me makes me feel old. There was a band called the Bluegrass Little Bits that I saw. There was a bunch of kids on stage, and I knew right then I wanted to play the banjo. You know.
Now they're the Bluegrass Big Bits.
Now they're all grown up.
Now they're the Fitbits.
That's right.
I'm sorry I had to chime in your interview on that.
No,
funny?
That's fine.
There was a local band, the Orange Blossom Bluegrass, out of Tampa. Don Ripple kind of mentored me into becoming a banjo player over the guitar, which I had started with, and got me my first real banjo. And
what was it? Because I remember mine like it was yesterday.
It was my first real banjo was an Aria Pro 2.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think I spent $400 on that banjo.
And probably thought you were in heaven.
Oh, it was, from what I had.
What did you have?
I don't even think I had a name.
I think everybody started out with a K banjo.
It might have been a Harmony.
Harmony, yeah.
I think it was a Harmony.
Those were, yeah, all right.
Well, you know, the pop metal,
yes.
No rim.
Yep, exactly. The action was about 12 inches high.
That's right.
And you didn't know that it wasn't supposed to be that hard to reach the fret. Because you didn't know.
You had no idea.
And you learned that. Then when you get the Aria, which was a huge step up.
Oh.
I bought a Univox, which was my second one.
Uh-huh.
Similar thing as to the Aria Jap. I think it was made in Korea, but it's like, man, I'm really doing it now. It's got a tone ring.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually fret it.
Yeah, you'd be able to play beyond the fifth fret.
Yeah, it was impossible. So when you're learning banjo, then you talked about your mentor, but what was the sound that you were trying to get?
JD.
Okay.
You know,
good.
JD Crow in the New South. Sonny Osborne, Little Roy Lewis, believe it or not, was one of my idols.
Well, sure.
I followed the Lewis family around as a kid. Every festival they played in Florida and Georgia, I was at because I thought he was the king's.
Well, he did everything.
When it came to playing, but as a banjo player,
yeah.
Though, he was it for me.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably the biggest influence on me.
How do you get then from banjo? I know you got the right hand going, but how do you get from that to having the one finger steel bar?
A lot of work.
Okay.
I went from banjo actually to mandolin. And
Okay, I'm sorry. I know
it's crazy.
Because I tried to make the jump to a dobro. Because I thought I got the right hand thing.
I got the
picks already.
It's similar.
Right.
You don't really. I had a dobro for 1 week and I traded in for a fiddle.
I've had a fiddle for 20 years and still can't play it. But it's similar, but it's not. I mean,
right.
You don't. That rolling pattern
no.
is not something that happens on the
no.
dobro, really.
No.
So. But it's. I hear things. Like, I'm not trying to sound like I'm a weirdo.
Do you hear pedal steel licks, and do you put those in the dobro?
I hear fiddle licks, and I try and make them happen on the dobro. I hear, like I said, it's like playing a banjo with one finger.
Yeah.
That's what I do. What I hear is what I try and make happen on the instrument. And most of the time it sounds pretty good. You know.
Well, you have a new album that says so.
Yeah, well, it sounds real good on there.
Are you excited about this?
I'm so excited. It's unbelievable to watch this go from the idea that it was to everybody's parts being done to the mastered produced product, and then Bellbuckle Records and Valerie picking it up and releasing it and having it explode. And I like see a Cherry Holmes's track, which is Heaven, on here, is in the top 10 of Bluegrass today. It's, the album itself is all over the charts.
You have a lot of great people helping you.
I've got an amazing cast of friends on this CD.
How do you when you're doing your first? I've never understood this. How do you, okay, you're going to do your first solo CD. How do you pull in, you probably knew a lot of people. How do you approach them to say, Sia, how can you help me out? Or?
Well, I had known her, you know, or we had been in the same circles from playing festivals and shows together. And when I wanted to put this song on here, I knew right then I wanted Sia to sing it. Her voice was the one that was going to be right for that song. And I just sent her an email and said, hey, Sia, I'm doing this project, and I'd really like for you to sing lead on this. Would you be interested? And she came right back to me and was like, absolutely. And, and there you have it.
That's probably how it worked with most of the people that knew you. If you wanted them involved in a project, they were probably willing to help out.
That's right.
That's kind of a neat thing about bluegrass, too. And, Valerie, you know this more than anyone, that all these relationships that you make through playing and even through networking and worn out term of being here at IBMA, I mean, not with me, but you do meet those people, and it's amazing how willing they are to step in and provide some input and maybe help you record a tune and also bring something special to the song that you were thinking.
That's right.
Musicians are some of the friendliest people in the music.
They are, and that's not...
They just want to make music, really. They all just want to make music and have fun doing it. And I think that, for the most part, that's the beauty of this industry.
It is. It's the community part of it.
Right.
And you're all just trying to... You'll help them, they'll help you, everybody pitches them.
That's right.
When I look down here, I see Kristen's tune, and I just see you listed there.
Right. That's a solo tune that I wrote for my girlfriend. I wanted to put something on there for her, and I struggled with it, I'm not going to lie. I had probably 10 different melodies that I worked around and pushed around one morning I woke up with this tune kind of rolling through my head, and I started to play it, and she hopped up out of bed and came out and said, what is that? It's so beautiful.
As long as she didn't say, stop it, I'm trying to sleep. You thought it would make the album.
Right.
Okay.
She said, what is that? And I told her that it was just something, and she said, that's my tune. So there it is.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
right. Well, then you also have a Pink Floyd tune. There's a bonus track on here of Comfortably Numb.
That's right.
So you're listening to stuff.
That was a big debate on the song.
Was it?
It was a big debate. I didn't think it fit. And really, in a lot of ways, with the rest of the tracks there, it doesn't. I mean, this is a pretty traditional kind of bluegrass album, you know. And then Comfortably Numb has drums and electric bass, and it's not. But it wasn't meant to be. When I recorded that tune, I was trying to recreate the Pink Floyd sound using bluegrass instruments. And the lead singer on it was a friend of mine, young, died unexpectedly this year at 32. And so I thought that it would be a really good idea to put it on there as a bonus track.
And
that's right, Anthony Ubriaco is his name. And we wanted to get it on there in his memory. And really, the whole CD is dedicated to Anthony.
That's nice. So you're not listening to the bluegrass bits anymore. You're listening to Pink Floyd. You have a lot of different things.
I think most every musician that's a musician doesn't just listen to one kind of music.
Right.
Now, if I'm driving down the road, I got Bluegrass Junction on the radio, you know. But at work, up till just recently, it was the classic rock station, you know, that was on the radio in the shop. And, you know, it's like there's just influences. And I appreciate all forms of music. And so, yeah, I mean, like the Heaven, for example, is a Bryan Adams song.
Right, that's right.
From the 80s.
Yes,
right?
I knew that, but I couldn't place it fast.
But you wouldn't know that to hear it on.
I think that's Valerie, and I know Valerie has a very, pulls from a lot of different music and does a lot of different. I think that's true of a lot of bluegrass. You listen to all kinds of music. If you're a musician, you're listening to music.
I know I'm saying just bluegrass artists.
Right.
I think a lot of them are very versatile in their style of music, because especially in this newer generation, because they've been influenced by so many different kinds. How are you not to be influenced? And how, you know, it's going to come across in today's bluegrass, I think, naturally.
Right.
And me growing up in the Midwest, I don't know about where you were raised, but in the Midwest, it's the heart of everything. So I heard everything.
I did, too.
So that's why I probably try different things in my music.
Yeah.
How about you, Chad?
Well, my parents listen to classic country, you know, but my sisters all listen to rock and roll. And I have five sisters. I'm the baby, and so like any music that I grew up in was either influenced by them or my parents, really.
Yeah.
And so you know, the Beatles and Lynyrd Skynyrd and Pink Floyd. That's all stuff that I appreciate. It's a different genre of music, and it's.
But it's good. It's good to be informed by those things, because it gives you a different outlook on things. On maybe more traditional bluegrass, but you have that in your... All that stuff comes out.
I think all good music is equal.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for you. I can't wait to listen to the whole thing.
I'm so super excited
And get it more into the playlist. I'm so glad you stopped by. And Valerie, thanks for coming by.
If I could just let people know that they can get the CD at raisingthebar.biz. They can also find out more about it and me at my website, chaddaroux.com, which is DAROU.
All right, good enough. I appreciate that.
Thanks
for stopping by, Valerie and Chad.
Awesome.
This is good. I'm glad we finally got to meet.
Yeah, me too.
I'll let you go.